believe him for some reason. It is very possible that there are legends I haven't heard of, Sazed said. If the keepers knew everything, then why would we need to keep searching? Vin nodded, still a bit uncertain. Sazed continued to stir the soup. He seemed so dignified, even while performing such a menial task. He stood in his steward's robes, unconcerned with how simple a service he was performing, easily taking over for the servants the crew had dismissed. Quick footsteps sounded on the stairs, and Vin perked up, sliding off her stool.
"Mistress?" Sazed asked.
"Someone on the stairs," Vin said, moving to the doorway.
One of the apprentices, Vin thought his name was Tace, burst into the main room. Now that Lester Bornes was gone, Tace had become the crew's main lookout.
"People are gathering in the square," Tace said, gesturing toward the stairs.
"What's this?" Doxson said, entering from the other room.
"People in the fountain square, Master Doxson," the boy said. "Word on the street is that the obligators are planning more executions."
Retribution for the pits, Vin thought. That didn't take long. Doxson's expression darkened.
"Go wake Kel."
"I intend to watch them," Kelsier said, walking through the room, dressed in simple ska clothing and cloak. Vin's stomach twisted.
"Again?"
"You all may do as you wish," Kelsier said. He looked much better after his extended rest. His exhaustion was gone, replaced with the characteristic strength Vin had come to expect from him.
"The executions are probably a reaction to what I did at the pits," Kelsier continued. "I'm going to watch those people's deaths, because indirectly, I caused them."
"It's not your fault, Kel," Doxson said.
"It's all of our faults," Kelsier said bluntly. "That doesn't make what we do wrong. However, if it weren't for us, these people wouldn't have to die. I, for one, think that the least we can do for these people is bear witness to their passing."
He pulled open the door, climbing the steps. Slowly, the rest of the crew followed him, though Clubs, Sazed, and the apprentices remained with the safe house. Vin climbed the musty-aired steps, eventually joining the others on a grimy street in the middle of a ska slum. Ash fell from the sky, floating in lazy flakes. Kelsier was already walking down the street, and the rest of them, Breeze, Ham, Doxson, and Vin, quickly moved to catch up with him. The safe house wasn't far from the fountain square. Kelsier, however, paused a few streets away from their destination. Dull-eyed Ska continued walking around them, jostling the crew. Bells rang in the distance.
"Kel?"
Doxson asked. Kelsier cocked his head.
"Vin, do you hear that?"
She closed her eyes, then flared her tin.
"Focus," she thought, "like Spook said. Cut through the shuffling feet and murmuring voices. Hear over the doors shutting and the people breathing. Listen."
"Horses," she said, dampening her tin and opening her eyes. "And carriages."
"Carts," Kelsier said, turning toward the side of the street. "The prisoner carts. They're coming this way."
He looked up at the buildings around him, then grabbed hold of a rain gutter and began to shinny up a wall. Breeze rolled his eyes, nudging Doxson and nodding toward the front of the building, but Vin and Ham, with Pewter, easily followed Kelsier up to the roof.
"There," Kelsier said, pointing at a street a short ways away. Vin could just barely make out a row of barred prison carts rolling toward the square. Doxson and Breeze entered the slanted rooftop through a window. Kelsier remained where he was, standing by the roof's lip, staring out at the prison carts.
"Kel," Ham said warily, "what are you thinking?"
"We're still a short distance from the square," he said slowly, "and the Inquisitors aren't riding with the prisoners. They'll come down from the palace like last time. There can't be more than 100 soldiers guarding those people."
100 men are plenty, Kel," Ham said.
Kelsier didn't seem to hear the words. He took another step forward, approaching up onto the roof's edge.
I can stop this. I can save them.
Vin stepped up beside him.
Kel, there might not be many guards with the prisoners, but the Fountain Square is only a few blocks away. It's packed with soldiers, not to mention the Inquisitors.
Ham, unexpectedly, didn't back her up. He turned, glancing at Doxson and Breeze. Dox paused, then shrugged.
"Are you all crazy?" Vin demanded.
"Wait a moment," Breeze said, squinting. "I'm no tin eye, but don't some of those prisoners look a bit too well-dressed?"
Kelsier froze, then he cursed. Without warning, he jumped off the rooftop, dropping to the street below.
"Kel!" Vin said. "What?"
Then she paused, looking up in the red sunlight, watching the slowly approaching procession of carts. Through tin-enhanced eyes, she thought that she recognized someone sitting near the front of one of the carts. Spook.
"Kelsier, what's going on?"
Vin demanded, dashing down the street behind him. He slowed just a bit.
"I saw Renew and Spook in that first cart. The Ministry must have hit Renew's canal procession. The people in those cages are the servants, staff, and guards we hired to work at the mansion."
The canal procession, Vin thought. The Ministry must know that Renew was a fake. Marsh broke after all.
Behind them, Ham appeared out of the building and onto the street. Breeze and Doxson were slower in coming.
"We have to work quickly," Kelsier said, picking up his pace again.
"Kel,"
Vin said, grabbing his arm.
"Kelsier, you can't save them. They're too well guarded. And it's daylight in the middle of the city. You'll just get yourself killed."
He paused, halting in the street, turning in Vin's grasp. He looked into her eyes, disappointed.
"You don't understand what this is all about, do you, Vin? You never did. I let you stop me once before on the hillside by the battlefield. Not this time. This time I can do something."
"But..."
He shook his arm free.
"You still have some things to learn about friendship, Vin. I hope someday you realize what they are."
Then he took off, charging in the direction of the carts. Ham barreled past Vin, heading in a different direction, pushing his way through Ska on their way to the square. Vin stood stupidly for a few moments, standing in the falling ash as Doxson caught up to her.
"It's insanity," she mumbled. "We can't do this, Dox. We're not invincible."
Doxson snorted.
"We're not helpless, either."
Breeze puffed up behind them, pointing toward a side street.
"There. We need to get me to a place where I can see the soldiers."
Vin let them tow her along, suddenly feeling shame mix with her worry.
"Kelsier."
Kelsier tossed away a pair of empty vials, their contents ingested. The vials sparkled in the air beside him, falling to shatter against the cobblestones. He ducked through one final alleyway, bursting out onto an eerily empty thoroughfare. The prisoner carts rolled toward him, entering a small courtyard square formed by the intersection of two streets. Each rectangular vehicle was lined with bars. Each one was packed with people who were now distinctly familiar. Servants, soldiers, housekeepers. Some were rebels, many were just regular people. None of them deserved death.
"Too many Ska have died already," he thought, flaring his medals. "Hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands. Not today. No more."
He dropped a coin and jumped, pushing himself through the air in a wide arc. Soldiers looked up, pointing. Kelsier landed directly in their center. There was a quiet moment as the soldiers turned in surprise. Kelsier crouched amid them, bits of ash falling from the sky. Then he pushed. He flared steel with a yell, standing and pushing outward. The burst of allomantic power hurled soldiers away by their breastplates, tossing a dozen men into the air, sending them crashing into companions and walls. Men screamed. Kelsier spun, pushing against a group of soldiers and sending himself flying toward a prison cart. He smashed into it, flaring his steel and grabbing the metal door with his hands. Prisoners huddled back in surprise.
Kelsier ripped the door free with a burst of pewter-enhanced power, then tossed it toward a group of approaching soldiers.
Go!
He told the prisoners, jumping down and landing lightly in the street. He spun, and came face to face with a tall figure wearing a brown robe. Kelsier paused, stepping back as the tall form reached up, lowering his hood, revealing a pair of eyes impaled by spikes. The Inquisitor smiled, and Kelsier heard footsteps approaching down side alleyways. Dozens. Hundreds.
Damnation!
Breeze swore as soldiers flooded the square. Dachshund pulled Breeze into an alley. Vin followed them in, crouching in the shadows, listening to soldiers yelling in the crossroads outside.
What?
She demanded.
Inquisitor,
Breeze said, pointing toward a robed figure standing before Kelsier.
What?
Dachshund said, standing.
It's a trap,
Vin realized with horror. Soldiers began to pile into the square, appearing from hidden side streets.
Kelsier, get out of there!
Kelsier pushed off a fallen guard, throwing himself backward in a flip over one of the prison carts. He landed in a crouch, eyeing the new squads of soldiers. Many of them carried staves and wore no armor. Haze killers. The Inquisitor pushed himself through the ash-filled air, landing with a thump in front of Kelsier. The creature smiled.
It's the same man, the Inquisitor from before.
Where's the girl?
The creature said quietly. Kelsier ignored the question. Why only one of you? He demanded. The creature's smile deepened.
I won the draw.
Kelsier flared pewter, dashing to the side as the Inquisitor pulled out a pair of obsidian axes. The square was quickly becoming clogged with soldiers. From inside the carts, he could hear people crying out.
Kelsier! Lord Kelsier, please!
Kelsier cursed quietly as the Inquisitor bore down on him. He reached out, pulling against one of the still full carts and yanking himself into the air over a group of soldiers. He landed, then dashed to the cart, intending to free its occupants. As he arrived, however, the cart shook. Kelsier glanced up just in time to see a steel-eyed monster grinning down at him from atop the vehicle. Kelsier pushed himself backward, feeling the wind of an axe head swing beside his head. He landed smoothly, but immediately had to jump to the side as a group of soldiers attacked. As he landed, he reached out, pulling against one of the carts to anchor himself, and pulled against the fallen iron door he had thrown before. The barred door lurched into the air and crashed through the squad of soldiers. The Inquisitor attacked from behind, but Kelsier jumped away. The still-tumbling door careened across the cobblestones in front of him, and as he passed over it, Kelsier pushed, sending himself streaking into the air.
Vin was right, Kelsier thought with frustration.
Below, the Inquisitor watched him, trailing him with unnatural eyes.
I shouldn't have done this.
Below, a group of soldiers rounded up the ska that he had freed.
I should run, try to lose the Inquisitor. I've done it before. But he couldn't. He wouldn't. Not this time. He had compromised too many times before. Even if it cost him everything else, he had to free those prisoners.
And then, as he began to fall, he saw a group of men charging the crossroads. They bore weapons, but no uniforms. At their head ran a familiar form.
Ham. So that's where you went.
What is it?
Vin asked anxiously, craning to see into the square. Above, Kelsier's form plunged back toward the fight, dark cloak trailing behind him.
It's one of our soldier units, Dachshund said. Ham must have fetched them.
How many?
We kept them in patches of a couple hundred.
So they'll be outnumbered.
Dachshund nodded. Vin stood.
I'm going out.
No, you're not,
Dachshund said firmly, grabbing her cloak and pulling her back.
I don't want a repeat of what happened to you last time you faced one of those monsters.
But...
Kel will be just fine, Dachshund said. He'll just try to stall long enough for Ham to free the prisoners. Then he'll run. Watch.
Vin stepped back. To her side, Breeze was mumbling to himself.
Yes, you're afraid,
Let's focus on that. Soothe everything else away. Leave you terrified. That's an Inquisitor and a Mistborn fighting. You don't want to interfere with that.
Vin glanced back toward the square, where she saw a soldier drop his staff and flee.
There are other ways to fight, she realized, kneeling beside Breeze. How can I help?
Kelsier ducked back from the Inquisitor again as Ham's unit crashed into the Imperial soldiers and began cutting its way toward the prisoner carts. The attack diverted the attention of the regular soldiers, who appeared all too happy to leave Kelsier and the Inquisitor to their solitary battle. To the side, Kelsier could see Ska beginning to clog the streets around the small courtyard, the fighting drawing the attention of those waiting up above at the fountain square. Kelsier could see other squads of Imperial soldiers trying to push their way toward the fight, but the thousands of Ska crowding the streets seriously slowed their progress. The Inquisitor swung and Kelsier dodged. The creature was obviously growing frustrated. To the side, a small group of Ham's men reached one of the prisoner carts and broke open its lock, freeing the prisoners. The rest of Ham's men kept the Imperial soldiers busy as the prisoners fled. Kelsier smiled, eyeing the annoyed Inquisitor. The creature growled quietly.
Valet!
A voice screamed. Kelsier turned in shock. A well-dressed nobleman was pushing his way through the soldiers toward the center of the fighting. He carried a dueling cane and was protected by two beleaguered bodyguards, but he mostly avoided harm by virtue of neither side being certain of wanting to strike down a man of obvious noble blood.
Valet!
Elend Venture yelled again. He turned to one of the soldiers.
Who told you to raid House Renew's convoy? Who authorized this?
Great, Kelsier thought, keeping a wary eye on the Inquisitor. The creature regarded Kelsier with a twisted, hateful expression. You just go right on hating me, Kelsier thought. I only have to hang on long enough for Ham to free the prisoners. Then I can lead you away. The Inquisitor reached out and casually beheaded a fleeing servant as she ran by.
No!
Kelsier yelled as the corpse fell at the Inquisitor's feet. The creature grabbed another victim and raised its axe.
All right,
Kelsier said, striding forward, pulling a pair of vials from his sash.
All right. You want to fight me? Come on!
The creature smiled, pushing the captured woman aside and striding toward Kelsier. Kelsier flicked the corks off and downed both vials at once, then tossed them aside. Metals flared in his chest, burning alongside his rage. His brother dead, his wife dead, family, friends, and heroes, all dead.
You push me to seek revenge, he thought. Well, you shall have it.
Kelsier paused a few feet in front of the Inquisitor. Fists clenched, he flared his steel in a massive push. Around him, people were thrown back by their metal as they were hit by the awesome, invisible wave of power. The square, packed with Imperial soldiers, prisoners, and rebels, opened up in a small pocket around Kelsier and the Inquisitor.
Let's do it, then, Kelsier said.
I never wanted to be feared. If I regret one thing, it is the fear I have caused. Fear is the tool of tyrants. Unfortunately, when the fate of the world is in question, you use whatever tools are available.
34. Dead and dying men collapsed the cobblestones. Ska crowded the roads. Prisoners cried out, calling his name. Heat from a smoky sun burned the streets, and ash fell from the sky. Kelsier dashed forward, flaring pewter and whipping out his daggers. He burned Atium, as did the Inquisitor, and they both probably had enough to last for an extended fight. Kelsier slashed twice in the hot air, striking at the Inquisitor, his arms a blur. The creature dodged amid an insane vortex of Atium shadows, then swung an axe. Kelsier jumped, pewter lending his leap inhuman height, and passed just over the swinging weapon. He reached out and pushed against a group of fighting soldiers behind him, throwing himself forward. He planted both feet in the Inquisitor's face and kicked off, flipping backward in the air. The Inquisitor stumbled. As Kelsier fell, he pulled on a soldier, yanking himself backward. The soldier was pulled off his feet by the force of the iron pull, and he began to streak toward Kelsier. Both men flew in the air. Kelsier flared iron, pulling against a patch of soldiers to his right while still pulling against the single soldier.
The result was a pivot. Kelsier flew to the side, and the soldier, held as if by a tether to Kelsier's body, swung in a wide arc like a ball on a chain. The unfortunate soldier crashed into the stumbling Inquisitor, smashing them both into the bars of an empty prison cart. The soldier toppled unconscious to the ground. The Inquisitor bounced off the iron cage, falling to its hands and knees. A line of blood ran down the creature's face, across its eye tattoos, but it looked up, smiling. It didn't seem the least bit dizzy as it stood. Kelsier landed, cursing quietly to himself. With an incredible burst of speed, the Inquisitor grabbed the empty box-like prison cell by a pair of bars, then ripped the entire thing free of the cartwheels.
Bloody hell!
The creature spun and hurled the massive iron cage at Kelsier, who stood only a few feet away. There was no time to dodge. A building stood right behind him. If he pushed himself back, he'd be crushed. The cage crashed toward him, and he jumped, using a steel push to guide his body through the open doorway of the spinning cage. He twisted within the cell, pushing outward in all directions, holding himself in the metal cage's exact center as it smashed into the wall, then bounced free. The cage rolled, then began to skid across the ground. Kelsier let himself drop, landing on the underside of the roof as the cage slowly slid to a halt. Through the bars, he could see the Inquisitor watching him amid a sea of fighting soldiers, its body surrounded by a twisting, dashing, moving cloud of Atium images. The Inquisitor nodded its head to Kelsier in a slight sign of respect. Kelsier pushed out with a yell, flaring pewter to keep from crushing himself. The cage exploded, the metal top flipping into the air, the bars ripping free and bursting outward. Kelsier pulled the bars behind him and pushed the ones in front of him, sending a stream of metal shooting toward the Inquisitor. The creature raised a hand, expertly dividing the large missiles. Kelsier, however, followed the bars with his own body, shooting himself toward the Inquisitor with a steel push. The Inquisitor pulled himself to the side, using an unfortunate soldier as an anchor. The man cried out as he was wrenched away from his duel, but he choked off as the Inquisitor jumped, pushing against the soldier and crushing the man to the ground. The Inquisitor shot into the air. Kelsier slowed himself with a push against a group of soldiers, tracking the Inquisitor. Behind him, the top of the cage crashed back to the ground, throwing up chips of stone. Kelsier blasted against it and hurled himself upward after the Inquisitor. Flakes of ash streaked past him. Ahead, the Inquisitor turned, pulling against something below. The creature switched directions immediately, instead hurling toward Kelsier.
Head-on collision. Bad idea for the guy without spikes in his head.
Kelsier frantically pulled against a soldier, lurching downward as the Inquisitor passed diagonally overhead. Kelsier flared pewter, then crashed into the soldier he had pulled up toward him. The two of them spun in midair. Fortunately, the soldier wasn't one of Ham's.
Sorry, friend,
Kelsier said conversationally, pushing himself to the side. The soldier shot away, eventually smashing into the side of a building as Kelsier used him to soar over the battlefield. Below, Ham's main squad had finally reached the last prison cart. Unfortunately, several more groups of Imperial soldiers had pushed their way through the gawking ska crowds. One of them was a large team of archers, armed with obsidian-tipped arrows. Kelsier cursed, letting himself fall. The archers set up, obviously preparing to fire straight into the fighting crowd. They would kill some of their own soldiers, but the brunt of their attack would be borne by the fleeing prisoners. Kelsier dropped to the cobblestones. He reached to the side, pulling against some discarded bars from the cage he had destroyed. They flew toward him. The archers drew, but he could see their Atium-tipped shadows. Kelsier released the bars and pushed himself to the side just slightly, allowing the bars to fly between the archers and the fleeing prisoners. The archers fired. Kelsier grabbed the bars, flaring both steel and iron, pushing against one tip of each bar and pulling against the opposite tip. The bars lurched in the air, immediately beginning to spin like furious, lunatic windmills. Most of the flying arrows were sprayed to the side by the spinning rods of iron. The bars clanged to the ground amid the scattered, discarded arrows. The archers stood, stupefied, as Kelsier jumped to the side again, then pulled lightly on the bars, flipping them up into the air in front of him. He pushed, sending the bars crashing toward the archers. He turned away as men screamed and died, his eyes seeking his true foe.
Where is that creature hiding?
He looked into a scene of chaos. Men fought, ran, fled, and died,
each one bearing a prophetic atium shadow to Kelsier's eyes. In this case, however, the shadows effectively doubled the number of people moving on the battlefield and only served to increase the sense of confusion. More and more soldiers were arriving. Many of Ham's men were down. Most of the rest were retreating. Fortunately, they could simply discard their armor and blend into the Ska crowds. Kelsier was more worried about that last prisoner cart, the one with Renu and Spook in it. The trajectory at which Ham's group had entered the battle had required them to move up the line of carts back to front. Trying to get to Renu first would have required passing by the five other carts, leaving their people still trapped. Ham obviously didn't intend to leave until Spook and Renu were free. And where Ham fought, the rebel soldiers held. There was a reason pewter arms were also called thugs. There was no subtlety to their fighting, no clever iron pulls or steel pushes. Ham simply attacked with raw strength and speed, throwing enemy soldiers out of his way, laying waste to their ranks, leading his squad of 50 men toward the final prison cart. As they reached it, Ham stepped back to fight off a group of enemy soldiers as one of his men broke the cart's lock. Kelsier smiled with pride, eyes still searching for the Inquisitor. His men were few, but the enemy soldiers seemed visibly unsettled by the Ska rebels' determination. Kelsier's men fought with passion. Despite their other numerous hindrances, they still had this one advantage. "This is what happens when you finally convince them to fight. This is what hides within them all. It's just so hard to release." Renu exited the cart, then stepped to the side, watching as his servants rushed free from their cage. Suddenly, a well-dressed figure burst from the melee, grabbing Renu by the front of his suit.
"Where's Valette?"
Ellen Venture demanded, his desperate voice carrying to Kelsier's tin-enhanced ears.
"Which cage was she in?"
"Kid, you're really starting to annoy me," Kelsier thought, pushing himself a path through the soldiers as he ran toward the cart. The Inquisitor appeared, leaping out from behind a pile of soldiers. It landed on top of the cage, shaking the entire structure, an obsidian axe grasped in each claw-like hand. The creature met Kelsier's eyes and smiled, then dropped from the cage and buried an axe in Renu's back. The Chondra jerked, eyes opening wide. The Inquisitor turned toward Elend next. Kelsier wasn't certain if the creature recognized the boy. Perhaps the Inquisitor thought Elend to be a member of Renu's family. Perhaps it didn't care. Kelsier paused for just a moment. The Inquisitor raised his axe to strike.
"She loves him."
Kelsier flared steel within, stoking it, raging it until his chest burned like the ash mounts themselves. He blasted against the soldiers behind him, throwing dozens of them backward, and streaked toward the Inquisitor. He crashed into the creature as it began to swing. The discarded axe clicked against the stones a few feet away. Kelsier gripped the Inquisitor by its neck as the two hit the ground. Then he began to squeeze with pewter-enhanced muscles. The Inquisitor reached up, grabbing Kelsier's hands, desperately trying to force them apart.
"Marsh was right," Kelsier thought through the chaos. "It fears for its life. It can be killed."
The Inquisitor gasped raggedly, the metal spike heads protruding from its eyes just inches from Kelsier's face. To his side, Kelsier saw Elend Venture stumble back.
"The girl is fine," Kelsier said through gritted teeth. "She wasn't on the Renu barges. Go!"
Elend paused uncertainly. Then one of his bodyguards finally appeared. The boy let himself get dragged away.
"Can't believe I just saved a nobleman," Kelsier thought, struggling to choke the Inquisitor. "You'd better appreciate this girl."
Slowly, with straining muscles, the Inquisitor forced Kelsier's hands apart. The creature began to smile again.
"They're so strong."
The Inquisitor pushed Kelsier back, then pulled against a soldier, yanking itself in a skidding motion across the cobblestones. The Inquisitor hit a corpse and flipped backward, up to its feet. Its neck was red from Kelsier's grip, bits of flesh torn by his fingernails. But it smiled still. Kelsier pushed against a soldier, flipping himself up as well. To his side, he saw Renu leaning against the cart. Kelsier caught the Chondra's eyes and nodded slightly. Renu dropped to the ground with a sigh, axe in his back.
"Kelsier!"
Ham yelled over the crowd.
"Go!"
Kelsier told him.
"Renu is dead.
Ham glanced at Renew's body, then nodded. He turned to his men, calling orders.
"Survivor," a rasping voice said.
Kelsier spun. The Inquisitor strode forward, stepping with Pewter's lithe power, surrounded by a haze of Atium shadows.
"Survivor of Hathsion," it said. "You promised me a fight. Must I kill more Ska?"
Kelsier flared his metals.
"I never said we were done."
Then he smiled. He was worried, he was pained, but he was also exhilarated. All of his life there had been a piece of him that had wished to stand and fight. He'd always wanted to see if he could take an Inquisitor. Vin stood, trying desperately to see over the crowd.
"What?" Doxon asked. "I thought I saw Elland."
"Here? That sounds a bit ridiculous, don't you think?"
Vin flushed.
"Probably. Regardless, I'm going to try and get a better view."
She grabbed the side of the alleyway.
"Be careful," Doc said. "If that Inquisitor sees you..."
Vin nodded, scrambling up the bricks. Once she got high enough, she scanned the intersection for familiar figures. Doxon was right. Elland was nowhere to be seen. One of the carts, the one off of which the Inquisitor had ripped the cage, lay on its side. Horses stomped about, hedged in by the fighting in the Ska crowds.
"What do you see?"
Doxon called up.
"Renew is down,"
Vin said, squinting and burning tin.
"Looks like an axe in his back."
"That may or may not be fatal for him," Doxon said cryptically. "I don't know a lot about Khandra."
"Khandra?"
"What about the prisoners?"
Doxon called.
"They're all free,"
Vin said.
"The cages are empty. Dox, there are a lot of Ska out there."
It looked like the entire population from the Fountain Square had crowded down to the small intersection. The area was in a small depression, and Vin could see thousands of Ska packing the streets, sloping upward in all directions.
"Ham's free," Vin said.
"I don't see him, alive or dead, anywhere. Spook's gone, too."
"And Kel?"
Doxon asked urgently. Vin paused.
"He's still fighting the Inquisitor."
Kelsier flared his pewter, punching the Inquisitor, careful to avoid the flat discs of metal sticking out the front of his eyes. The creature stumbled, and Kelsier buried his fist in its stomach. The Inquisitor growled and slapped Kelsier across the face, throwing him down with one blow. Kelsier shook his head. "What does it take to kill this thing?" he thought, pushing himself up to his feet, backing away. The Inquisitor strode forward. Some of the soldiers were trying to search the crowd for Ham and his men, but many just stood still. A fight between two powerful allomancers was something whispered about, but never seen. Soldier and peasant stood dumbfounded, watching the battle with awe. "He's stronger than I am," Kelsier acknowledged, watching the Inquisitor warily. "But strength isn't everything." Kelsier reached out, grabbing smaller metal sources and pulling them away from their owners. Metal caps, fine steel swords, coin pouches, daggers. He threw them at the Inquisitor, carefully manipulating steel pushes and iron pulls, and kept his Atium burning so that each item he controlled would have a fanning multitude of Atium images in the Inquisitor's eyes. The Inquisitor cursed quietly as it deflected the swarming bits of metal. Kelsier, however, just used the Inquisitor's own pushes against it, pulling each item back, whipping them around at the creature. The Inquisitor blasted outward, pushing against all the items at once, and Kelsier let them go. As soon as the Inquisitor stopped pushing, however, Kelsier pulled his weapons back. The Imperial soldiers formed a ring, watching warily. Kelsier used them, pushing against breastplates, lurching himself back and forth in the air. The quick changes in position let him move constantly, disorienting the Inquisitor, allowing him to push his different flying pieces of metal where he wanted them.
"Keep an eye on my belt buckle," Doxon said,
wobbling slightly as he clung to the bricks beside Vin.
"If I fall off, give me a pull to slow the fall, eh?"
Vin nodded, but she wasn't paying much attention to Dox. She was watching Kelsier.
"He's incredible."
Kelsier lurched back and forth in the air, his feet never touching the ground. Bits of metal buzzed around him, responding to his pushes and pulls. He controlled them with such skill one would have thought they were living things. The Inquisitor slapped them away with a fury, but was obviously having trouble keeping track of them all.
I underestimated Kelsier, Vin thought. I assumed that he was less skilled than the Mistings because he'd spread himself too thin. But that wasn't it at all. This is his specialty. Pushing and pulling with expert control. And iron and steel are the metals he personally trained me in. Maybe he understood all along.
Kelsier spun and flew amid a maelstrom of metal. Every time something hit the ground, he picked it back up. The items always flew in straight lines, but he kept moving, pushing himself around, keeping them in the air, periodically shooting them at the Inquisitor. The creature spun, confused. It tried to push itself upward, but Kelsier shot several larger pieces of metal over the creature's head, and it had to push against them, throwing off its jump. An iron bar hit the Inquisitor in the face. The creature stumbled, blood marring the tattoos on the side of its face. A steel helmet struck it in the side, tossing it backward. Kelsier began to shoot pieces of metal quickly, feeling his rage and anger mount. "Were you the one who killed Marsh?" he yelled, not bothering to listen for an answer. "Were you there when I was condemned years ago?" The Inquisitor raised a warding hand, pushing away the next swarm of metals. It limped backward, putting its back against the overturned wooden cart. Kelsier heard the creature growl, and a sudden push of strength washed through the crowd, toppling soldiers, causing Kelsier's metal weapons to shoot away. Kelsier let them go. He dashed forward, rushing the disoriented Inquisitor, scooping up a loose cobblestone. The creature turned toward him, and Kelsier yelled, swinging the cobblestone, his strength fueled almost more by rage than by pewter. He hit the Inquisitor square in the eyes. The creature's head snapped back, smacking against the bottom of the overturned cart. Kelsier struck again, yelling, repeatedly smashing his cobblestone into the creature's face. The Inquisitor howled in pain, reaching claw-like hands for Kelsier, moving as if to jump forward. Then it suddenly jerked to a stop, its head stuck against the cart's wood. The spike tips that jutted from the back of its skull had been pounded into the wood by Kelsier's attack. Kelsier smiled as the creature screamed in rage, struggling to pull its head free from the wood. Kelsier turned to the side, seeking an item he had seen on the ground a few moments before. He kicked over a corpse, snatching the obsidian axe off the ground, its rough chipped blade glittering in the red sunlight.
"I'm glad you talked me into this," he said quietly.
Then he swung with a two-handed blow, slamming the axe head through the Inquisitor's neck and into the wood behind. The Inquisitor's body slumped to the cobblestones. The head remained where it was, staring out with its eerie, tattooed, unnatural gaze, pinned to the wood by its own spikes. Kelsier turned to face the crowd, suddenly feeling incredibly wearied. His body ached from dozens of bruises and cuts, and he didn't even know when his cloak had ripped free. He faced the soldiers defiantly, however, his scarred arms plainly visible.
"The survivor of Hathsin," one whispered. "He killed an Inquisitor," said another.
And then the chanting began. The ska in the surrounding streets began to scream his name. The soldiers looked around, realizing with horror that they were surrounded. The peasants began to press in, and Kelsier could feel their anger and hope.
"Maybe this doesn't have to go the way I assumed," Kelsier thought triumphantly. "Maybe I don't have..."
Then it hit. Like a cloud moving before the sun, like a sudden storm on a quiet night, like a pair of fingers snuffing a candle. An oppressive hand stifled the budding sky emotions. The people cringed and their cries died out. The fire Kelsier had built within them was too new.
"So close," he thought.
Up ahead, a single black carriage crested the hill and began to move down from the fountain square. The Lord Ruler had arrived. Vin nearly lost her grip as the wave of depression hit her. She flared her copper, but, as always, she could still slightly feel the Lord Ruler's oppressive hand.
"Lord Ruler,"
Doxson said, though Vin couldn't tell if it was a curse or an observation. Ska, that had been packed in to view the fight, somehow managed to make room for the dark carriage. It rolled down a corridor of people toward the corpse-littered square. Soldiers pulled back, and Kelsier stepped away from the fallen cart, moving out to face the oncoming carriage.
"What is he doing?"
Vin asked, turning toward Doxson, who had propped himself up on a small outcropping.
Why doesn't he run? This is no Inquisitor. This isn't something to fight.
This is it, Vin, Doxson said, awed. This is what he's been waiting for. A chance to face the Lord Ruler. A chance to prove those legends of his.
Vin turned back toward the square. The carriage rolled to a stop.
But,
she said quietly,
the 11th medal. Did he bring it?
He must have.
Kelsier always said that the Lord Ruler was his task, Vin thought. He let the rest of us work on the nobility, the garrison, and the ministry. But this... Kelsier always planned to do this himself.
The Lord Ruler stepped from his carriage, and Vin leaned forward, burning tin. He looked like... a man. He was dressed in a black and white uniform, somewhat like a nobleman's suit, but far more exaggerated. The coat reached all the way to his feet, and trailed behind him as he walked. His vest wasn't colored, but a pure black, though it was accented with brilliant white markings. As Vin had heard, his fingers glittered with rings, the symbol of his power.
"I'm so much stronger than you," the rings proclaimed, "that it doesn't matter if I wear metal."
Handsome, with jet-black hair and pale skin, the Lord Ruler was tall, thin, and confident. And he was young, younger than Vin would have expected, even younger than Kelsier. He strode across the square, avoiding corpses, his soldiers pulling back and forcing the ska away. Suddenly a small group of figures burst through the line of soldiers. They wore the mismatched armor of rebels, and the man leading them looked just a bit familiar. He was one of Ham's thugs.
"For my wife," the thug said,
holding up a spear and charging.
"For Lord Kelsier,"
yelled the other four.
Oh no,
Vin thought. The Lord Ruler, however, ignored the men. The lead rebel bellowed in defiance, then rammed his spear through the Lord Ruler's chest. The Lord Ruler just continued to walk, passing the soldier, spear sticking all the way through his body. The rebel paused, then grabbed a spear from one of his friends, and drove this one through the Lord Ruler's back. Again the Lord Ruler ignored the men, as if they and their weapons were completely beneath his contempt. The lead rebel stumbled back, then spun as his friends began to scream under an Inquisitor's axe. He joined them shortly, and the Inquisitor stood above the corpses for a moment, hacking gleefully. The Lord Ruler continued forward, two spears sticking, as if unnoticed, from his body. Kelsier stood waiting. He looked ragged in his ripped ska clothing. Yet he was proud. He didn't bend or bow beneath the weight of the Lord Ruler's soothing. The Lord Ruler stopped a few feet away, one of the spears nearly touching Kelsier's chest. Black ash fell lightly around the two men, bits of it curling and blowing in the faint wind. The square fell horribly silent. Even the Inquisitor stopped his gruesome work. Vin leaned forward, clinging precariously to the rough brickwork.
"Do something, Kelsier. Use the metal."
The Lord Ruler glanced at the Inquisitor that Kelsier had killed.
"Those are very hard to replace."
His accented voice carried easily to Vin's tin-enhanced ears. Even from a distance, she could see Kelsier smile.
"I killed you once," the Lord Ruler said, turning back to Kelsier.
"You tried," Kelsier replied, his voice loud and firm carrying across the square. "But you can't kill me, Lord Tyrant. I represent that thing you've never been able to kill, no matter how hard you try. I am hope."
The Lord Ruler snorted in disdain. He raised a casual arm, then backhanded Kelsier with a blow so powerful that Vin could hear the crack resound through the square. Kelsier lurched and spun, spraying blood as he fell.
"No!"
Vin screamed. The Lord Ruler ripped one of the spears from his own body, then slammed it down through Kelsier's chest.
"Let the executions begin," he said, turning toward his carriage and ripping out the second spear, then tossing it aside.
Chaos followed. Prompted by the Inquisitor, the soldiers turned and attacked the crowd. Other Inquisitors appeared from the square above, riding black horses, ebony axes glistening in the afternoon light. Vin ignored it all.
"Kelsier!"
she screamed. His body lay where it had fallen, spear jutting from his chest, scarlet blood pooling around him.
"No, no, no!"
She jumped from the building, pushing against some people and throwing herself over the massacre. She landed in the center of the oddly empty square. Lord Ruler gone, Inquisitors busy killing Ska. She scrambled to Kelsier's side. There was almost nothing remaining of the left side of his face. The right side, however, it still smiled faintly, single dead eye staring up into the red-black sky. Bits of ash fell lightly on his face.
"Kelsier, no,"
Vin said, tears streaming down her face. She prodded his body, feeling for a pulse. There was none.
"You said you couldn't be killed," she cried. "What of your plans? What of the 11th medal? What of me?"
He didn't move. Vin had trouble seeing through the tears.
"It's impossible. He always said we weren't invincible, but that meant me, not him, not Kelsier. He was invisible. He should have been."
Someone grabbed her, and she squirmed, crying out.
"Time to go, kid," Ham said.
He paused, looking at Kelsier, assuring for himself that the crew leader was dead. Then he towed her away. Vin continued to struggle weakly, but she was growing numb. In the back of her mind, she heard Reen's voice.
"See? I told you he would leave you. I warned you. I promised you."
The end of part 4. Part 5. Believers in a Forgotten World. I know what will happen if I make the wrong choice. I must be strong. I must not take the power for myself. For I have seen what will happen if I do. 35. "To work with me," Kelsier had said, "I only ask that you promise one thing. To trust me." Vin hung in the mist, immobile. It flowed around her like a quiet stream. Above, ahead, to the sides, and beneath. Mist all around her. "Trust me," he'd said. "You trusted me enough to jump off the wall and I caught you. You're going to have to trust me this time, too. I'll catch you. I'll catch you." It was as if she were nowhere, among and of the mist. How she envied it. It didn't think, didn't worry, didn't hurt. "I trusted you, Kelsier," she thought. "I actually did. But you let me fall. You promised that your crews had no betrayals. What of this? What of your betrayal?" She hung, her tin extinguished to let her better see the mists. They were slightly wet, cool upon her skin, like the tears of a dead man. "Why does it matter anymore?" she thought, staring upward. "Why does anything matter? What was it you said to me, Kelsier? That I never really understood? That I still needed to learn about friendship? What about you? You didn't even fight him." He stood there again in her mind. The Lord Ruler struck him down with a disdainful blow. The survivor had died like any other man. "Is this why you were so hesitant to promise that you wouldn't abandon me?" She wished she could just go, float away, become mist. She'd once wished for freedom, and then had assumed she'd found it. She'd been wrong. This wasn't freedom. This grief, this hole within her. It was the same as before when Reen had abandoned her. What was the difference? At least Reen had been honest. He'd always promised that he would leave. Kelsier had led her along, telling her to trust and to love, but Reen had always been the truthful one. "I don't want to do this anymore," she whispered to the mists.
Can't you just take me? The mists gave no answer. They continued to spin playfully, uncaring, always changing, yet somehow always the same.
Mistress, called an uncertain voice from below. Mistress, is that you up there?
Vin sighed, burning tin, then extinguishing steel and letting herself drop. Her mist cloak fluttered as she fell through the mists. She landed quietly on the rooftop above their safe house. Sazed stood a short distance away, beside the steel ladder that the lookouts had been using to get atop the building.
Yes, Saze,
she asked tiredly, reaching out to pull up the three coins she'd been using as anchors to stabilize her, like the legs of a tripod. One of them was twisted and bent, the same coin she and Kelsier had gotten into a pushing match over so many months ago.
I'm sorry, mistress, Sazed said. I simply wondered where you had gone.
She shrugged.
It is a strangely quiet night, I think, Sazed said. A mournful night.
Hundreds of Ska had been massacred following Kelsier's death, and hundreds more had been trampled during the rush to escape.
I wonder if his death even meant anything, she said quietly. We probably saved a lot fewer than were killed.
Slain by evil men, mistress.
Ham often asks if there even is such a thing as evil. Master Hammond likes to ask questions, Sazed said. But even he doesn't question the answers. There are evil men, just as there are good men.
Vin shook her head.
I was wrong about Kelsier. He wasn't a good man. He was just a liar. He never had a plan for defeating the Lord Ruler. Perhaps, Sazed said. Or perhaps he never had an opportunity to fulfill that plan. Perhaps we just don't understand the plan. You sound like you still believe in him.
Vin turned and walked to the edge of the flat-topped roof, staring out over the quiet, shadowy city.
I do, mistress, Sazed said. How? How can you?
Sazed shook his head, walking over to stand beside her.
Belief isn't simply a thing for fair times and bright days, I think. What is belief? What is faith, if you don't continue it after failure?
Vin frowned.
Anyone can believe in someone or something that always succeeds, mistress. But failure? Ah, now that is hard to believe in, certainly and truly. Difficult enough to have value, I think.
Vin shook her head.
Kelsier doesn't deserve it. You don't mean that, mistress, Sazed said calmly. You're angry because of what happened. You hurt.
Oh, I mean it, Vin said, feeling a tear on her cheek.
He doesn't deserve our belief. He never did. The Ska think differently. Their legends about him are growing quickly. I shall have to return here soon and collect them.
Vin frowned.
You would gather stories about Kelsier? Of course, Sazed said. I collect all religions.
Vin snorted.
This is no religion we're talking about, Sazed. This is Kelsier. I disagree. He is certainly a religious figure to the Ska. But we knew him, Vin said. He was no prophet or god. He was just a man.
So many of them are, I think, Sazed said quietly. Vin just shook her head. They stood there for a moment, watching the night.
What of the others? She finally asked. They are discussing what to do next, Sazed said. I believe it has been decided that we will leave Lúthedain separately and seek refuge in other towns.
And you?
I must travel north, to my homeland, to the place of the Keepers, so that I can share the knowledge that I possess. I must tell my brethren and sisters of the logbook, especially the words regarding our ancestor, the man named Rashik. There is much to learn in this story, I think.
He paused, then glanced at her.
This is not a journey I can take with another, mistress. The places of the Keepers must remain secret, even from you.
Of course, Vin thought. Of course he'd go too.
I will return, he promised.
Sure you will, just like all of the others have.
The crew had made her feel needed for a time, but she'd always known it would end. It was time to go back to the streets, time to be alone again.
Mistress, Sazed said slowly, do you hear that?
She shrugged. But there was something. Voices. Vin frowned, walking to the other side of the building. They grew louder, becoming easily distinct even without Tin. She peered over the side of the rooftop. A group of Ska men, perhaps 10 in number, stood in the street below. A thieving crew? Vin wondered as Sazed joined her. The group's numbers were swelling as more Ska timidly left their dwellings.
Come, said a Ska man who stood at the front of the group. Fear not the mist. Didn't the survivor name himself Lord of the Mists? Did he not say that we have nothing to fear from them? Indeed, they will protect us, give us safety, give us power even.
As more and more Ska left their homes without obvious repercussion, the group began to swell even further.
Go get the others, Vin said. Good idea, Sazed said, moving quickly to the ladder.
Your friends, your children, your fathers, your mothers, wives, and lovers, the Ska man said, lighting a lantern and holding it up. They lie dead in the street, not half an hour from here. The Lord Ruler doesn't even have the decency to clean up his slaughter.
The crowd began to mutter in agreement.
Even when the cleaning occurs, the man said, will it be the Lord Ruler's hands that dig the graves? No. It will be our hands. Lord Kelsier spoke of this.
Lord Kelsier,
several men agreed. The group was getting large now, being joined by women and youths. Clanking on the ladder announced Ham's arrival. He was joined shortly by Sazed, then Breeze, Doxen, Spook, and even Clubs.
Lord Kelsier,
proclaimed the man below. Others lit torches, brightening the mists.
Lord Kelsier fought for us today. He slew an immortal inquisitor.
The crowd grumbled in assent.
But then he died, someone yelled.
Silence.
And what did we do to help him? The leader asked. Many of us were there. Thousands of us. Did we help? No. We waited and watched, even as he fought for us. We stood dumbly and let him fall. We watched him die. Or did we? What did the survivor say? That the Lord Ruler could never really kill him? Kelsier is the Lord of the Mists. Is he not with us now?
Vin turned to the others. Ham was watching carefully, but Breeze just shrugged.
The man's obviously insane, a religious nut.
I tell you, friends, screamed the man below.
The crowd was still growing, more and more torches being lit.
I tell you the truth. Lord Kelsier appeared to me this very night. He said that he would always be with us. Will we let him down again?
No,
came the reply. Breeze shook his head.
I didn't think they had it in them. Too bad it's such a small...
What's that? Doxen asked.
Vin turned, frowning. There was a pocket of light in the distance. Like... torches. Lit in the mists. Another one appeared to the east, near a Ska slum. A third appeared, then a fourth. In a matter of moments, it seemed like the entire city was glowing.
You insane genius, Doxen whispered.
What?
Clubs asked, frowning.
We missed it, Doxen said. The Atium, the army, the nobility? That wasn't the job Kelsier was planning. This was his job. Our crew was never supposed to topple the final empire. We were too small. An entire city's population, however.
You're saying he did this on purpose? Breeze asked.
He always asked me the same question, Sazed said from behind. He always asked what gave religions so much power. Each time I answered him the same.
Sazed looked at them, cocking his head.
I told him that it was because their believers had something they felt passionate about. Something, or someone.
But why not tell us? Breeze asked.
Because he knew, Doxson said quietly. He knew something we would never agree to.
He knew that he would have to die. Breeze shook his head. I don't buy it. Why even bother with us, then? He could have done this on his own.
Why even bother?
Dox, Vin said, turning.
Where's that warehouse Kelsier rented? The one where he held his informant meetings?
Doxson paused.
Not far away, actually. Two streets down. He said he wanted it to be near the Bolt Lair.
Show me, Vin said, scrambling over the side of the building. The gathered ska continued to yell, each cry louder than the one before. The entire street blazed with light, flickering torches turning the mist into a brilliant haze. Doxson led her down the street, the rest of the crew trailing behind. The warehouse was a large rundown structure, squatting disconsolately in the slum's industrial section. Vin walked up to it, then flared pewter and smashed off the lock. The door slowly swung open. Doxson held up a lantern, and its light revealed sparkling piles of metal. Weapons. Swords, axes, staves, and helmets glittered in the light. An incredible silvery hoard. The crew stared at the room in wonder.
This is the reason, Vin said quietly. He needed the Renew Front to buy weapons in such numbers. He knew his rebellion would need these if they were going to succeed in taking the city.
Why gather an army, then? Ham said. Was it just a front, too?
I guess, Vin said.
Wrong,
a voice said, echoing through the cavernous warehouse.
There was so much more to it than that.
The crew jumped, and Vin flared her metals, until she recognized the voice.
Renew?
Doxson held his lantern higher.
Show yourself, creature.
A figure moved in the far back of the warehouse, staying to shadow. However, when it spoke, its voice was unmistakable.
He needed the army to provide a corps of trained men for the rebellion. That part of his plan was hampered by events. That was only one bit of why he needed you, however. The noble houses needed to fall to leave a void in the political structure. The garrison needed to leave the town so that the ska wouldn't be slaughtered.
He planned this all from the start, Ham said with wonder. Kelsier knew that the ska wouldn't rise up. They'd been beaten down for so long, trained to think that the Lord Ruler owned both their bodies and their souls. He understood that they would never rebel. Not unless he gave them a new god.
Yes, Renew said, stepping forward.
The light glittered off his face, and Vin gasped in surprise.
Kelsier!
She screamed. Ham grabbed her shoulder.
Careful, child. It's not him.
The creature looked at her. It wore Kelsier's face, but the eyes, they were different. The face didn't bear Kelsier's characteristic smile. It seemed hollow, dead.
I apologize, it said. This was to be my part in the plan, and is the reason Kelsier originally contracted with me. I was to take his bones once he was dead, then appear to his followers to give them faith and strength.
What are you?
Vin asked with horror. Renew Kelsier looked at her, and then his face shimmered, becoming transparent. She could see his bones through the gelatinous skin. It reminded her of
a mistwraith.
A chondra,
the creature said, its skin losing its transparency.
A mistwraith that has grown up, you might say.
Vin turned away in revulsion, remembering the creatures she had seen in the mist. Scavengers, Kelsier had said. Creatures that digested the bodies of the dead, stealing their skeletons and images.
The legends are even more true than I thought.
You were part of this plan, too, the Chandra said. All of you. You ask why he needed a crew? He needed men of virtue. Men who could learn to worry more for the people than for coin. He put you before armies and crowds, letting you practice leadership. He was using you. But he was also training you.
The creature looked to Doxen, Breeze, then Ham.
Bureaucrat, politician, general. For a new nation to be born, it will need men of your individual talents.
The Chandra nodded to a large sheet of paper affixed to a table a short distance away.
That is for you to follow. I have other business to be about.
It turned as if to leave, then paused beside Vin, turning toward her with its disturbingly Kelsier-like face. Yet the creature itself wasn't like Renu or Kelsier. It seemed passionless. The Chandra held up a small pouch.
He asked me to give you this.
It dropped the pouch into her hand, then continued on, the crew giving it a wide berth as it left the warehouse. Breeze started toward the table first, but Ham and Doxen beat him to it. Vin looked down at the bag. She was afraid to see what it contained. She hurried forward, joining the crew. The sheet was a map of the city, apparently copied from the one Marsh had sent. Written at the top were some words. My friends, you have a lot of work to do, and you must do it quickly. You must organize and distribute the weapons in this warehouse, then you must do the same in two others like it located in the other slums. There are horses in a side room for ease of travel. Once you distribute the weapons, you must secure the city gates and subdue the remaining members of the garrison. Breeze, your team will do this. March on the garrison first, so that you can take the gates in peace. There are four great houses that retain a strong military presence in the city. I have marked them on the map. Ham, your team will deal with these. We don't want an armed force other than our own inside the city. Doxen, remain behind while the initial strikes happen. More and more Ska will come to the warehouses once word gets out. Breeze and Ham's armies will include the troops we have trained, as well as augmentations, I hope, from the Ska gathering in the streets. You will need to make certain that the regular Ska get their weapons, so that clubs can lead the assault in the palace itself. The soothing stations should already be gone. Renu delivered the proper order to our assassin teams before he came to get you to bring you here. If you have time, send some of Ham's thugs to check out those stations. Breeze, your own soothers will be needed amongst the Ska to encourage them to bravery.
I think that's everything.
It was a fun job, wasn't it? When you remember me, please remember that. Remember to smile. Now move, quickly. May you rule in wisdom. The map had the city divided, with the various divisions labeled with various crew members' names. Vin noticed that she, along with Sazed, were left out.
I'll go back to that group we left by our house, Club said in a grumbling voice. Bring them here to get weapons.
He began to hobble away.
Clubs, Ham said, turning. No offense, but why did he include you as an army leader? What do you know of warfare?
Clubs snorted, then lifted up his trouser leg, showing the long, twisting scar that ran up the side of his calf and thigh, obviously the source of his limp.
Where do you think I got this? He said, then began to move away.
Ham turned back with wonder.
I don't believe this is happening.
Breeze shook his head.
And I assumed that I knew something about manipulating people. This is amazing. The economy is on the verge of collapsing, and the nobility that survive will soon be at open warfare on the countryside. Kel showed us how to kill inquisitors. We'll just need to pull down the others and behead them. As for the Lord Ruler...
Eyes turned on Vin. She looked down at the pouch in her hand and pulled it open. A smaller sack, obviously filled with atium beads, fell into her hand. It was followed by a small bar of metal wrapped in a sheet of paper. The 11th medal. Vin unwrapped the paper. "Vin," it read, "your original duty tonight was going to be to assassinate the high nobleman remaining in the city. But, well, you convinced me that maybe they should live. I could never figure out how this blasted metal was supposed to work. It's safe to burn, it won't kill you, but it doesn't appear to do anything useful. If you're reading this, then I failed to figure out how to use it when I faced the Lord Ruler. I don't think it matters. The people needed something to believe in, and this was the only way to give it to them. Please don't be angry at me for abandoning you. I was given an extension on life. I should have died in Mare's place years ago. I was ready for this. The others will need you. You're their Mistborn now. You'll have to protect them in the months to come. The nobility will send assassins against our fledgling kingdom's rulers. Farewell. I'll tell Mare about you. She always wanted a daughter."
"What does it say, Vin?" Ham asked.
"It says that he doesn't know how the 11th medal works. He's sorry. He wasn't certain how to defeat the Lord Ruler." "We've got an entire city full of people to fight him," Doc said. "I seriously doubt he can kill us all. If we can't destroy him, we'll just tie him up and toss him in a dungeon."
The others nodded.
"All right," Doxon said. "Breeze and Ham, you need to get to those other warehouses and begin giving out weapons. Spook, go fetch the apprentices. We'll need them to run messages. Let's go."
Everyone scattered. Soon the Ska they had seen earlier burst into the warehouse, holding their torches high, looking in awe at the wealth of weaponry. Doxon worked efficiently, ordering some of the newcomers to be distributors, sending others to go gather their friends and family. Men began to gear up, gathering weapons.